So the money from the logging helped provide both his medical expenses and...
Well, there were no medical expenses.
Oh, there weren't?
No, because... we didn't have to pay... That was why this doctor, I guess, said that if he'd known we'd been on relief, you know, he wouldn't have come. But, like, my son had to have his tonsils out because that is what causes, the rheumatic fever at a certain age. And he said, well, when you get the money, he said, we'll take out his tonsils. So anyway, my own doctor came back and he said, he can have his tonsils out right away. So he gave me an order and I went in right away. And other people had been waiting months to get their kids' tonsils out, but he said it was an emergency. But I told him, I said, well, he's not in very good shape coming out of that. And he said, well, he can build up from the tube. So he was, I liked him. He was a real family doctor, but you don't get them anymore.
And he was a doctor that was locally in North Burnaby?
Oh, no, you could have your own doctor.
Some of the people who were unemployed and on relief organized into organizations to pressure council or the commissioner to get more relief or to improve conditions. Did your husband or you have anything to do with that?
No, my husband wouldn't. you had to drive and even let him ask for relief because he was that type of a man. He just, when a man can't keep his family, you know, it's pretty humiliating for him.
Yeah. Did they make the men go and apply for relief, or could the wives go?
The head of the family had to do it. Then naturally the man was considered the head of the family.
So he was the one that had to go down to the relief?
Yeah.
Do you remember much about the council that they had before the commissioner came in?
No, I don't. I don't really remember much about them because, during the time that my son was small, I devoted myself to him more than, you know, to any outside the things. But
like Burnaby in 1932 was taken over by this commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Did people talk about that happening at all? Was it something that really affected people's lives?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that it affected them very much. But of course, Burnaby was not collecting taxes or anything at that time because no one could pay taxes. But they used to go over to the council meetings and raise cane, you know, over there. A lot of the people, they'd get together and go over there.
That was a long way from North Burnaby, mm-hmm. wasn't it, to get mm-hmm. down to Edmonds?
Yeah. But you see, they had the interurban bus used to run over there. And I don't remember where they picked it up.
They would have had to go...
They could go down... No, they could go down to Willingdon, see, because it went through down there. They could go down there and pick it up there.
So what, they get this one to one? There was one that went north-south on Willingdon?
No, no. It came out from town.
Yeah.
And went right through... Have you ever seen the tracks over there?
Yeah.
Well, the tracks are still there. You can see where it ran.
Yeah.
And it ran right to Edmonds, you see.
Right. But I was wondering how they connect with that from North Burnaby.
Well, they could go down Willingdon and pick
walk
it up.
Walk down Willingdon.
Mm-hmm. They did a lot of walking in those days.
Yeah.
As I've walked from where I lived over to Edmonds and back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How long would that take?
Oh, I don't know.
Several hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talking of taxes, how did you manage to pay your taxes?
Well, we didn't pay them.
We just didn't pay them?
They had to be paid up after you got to work.
But there wasn't any question of the municipality taking over?
Oh yes, they would take it over if you if you didn't pay your taxes, certainly.
So if you didn't pay them?
Well, they gave you 2 years, which they do now, as far as that goes.
I see.
And if you, some of them probably managed to pay a few, you know, a few dollars or something just to tide them over, but there were lots and lots of houses around here sold for $400 and $500 of taxes. Good houses, too.
And there were people who had the money to buy?
Well, people that were in steady jobs, of course. Because there were still people in steady jobs. Even the milkman had a steady job. So if a person had a little money in those days, they could, you know, really...
live like a king.
Well, they could get property anyway that was very good property, well-built houses.
Whereabouts would you have had to have gone to do your shopping from where you lived?
Well, there was a store at Willingdon run by Mr. and Mrs. Mainwaring. And when my youngster was small, he would... you could phone him for your groceries, you know, and he would pick up meat for you and bring it to you.
Whereabouts on Willingdon was
it? Right on the corner of Willingdon, where this gas station is now. On the south side, where the gas station is right there, next to the bank. Yeah.
There was another store in that area, too, that was set up by... group of people called the Army for the Common Good. It was a cooperative that...
Yes, but I don't think it was there. I think it was down Spurling Way.
Was it?
I think so.
I thought he said it was on Willingdon.
I don't know. It might have been. I never had anything to do with it. But I know they had a bake shop right here at Boundary Road that people used to go to for their bread. And even the fellow that was running the streetcar, he'd pick up their bread for them and bring it out.
If someone wanted the bread, they'd give the order to the streetcar driver.
Yeah, and he'd pick it up and they'd go and meet the bus, the tram, and get it from him.
Now, at the time that you got relief, you were given cash, not scrip. Is that right?
We never had scrip, no. They'd give it out in the first place, but... I guess it was cash, I don't know, yeah. And then they'd give you a certain amount for your electric bill, you know. That was an added thing.
So it covered food and fuel?
Mm-hmm, everything.
Clothes?
Yeah. But I was very fortunate because my mother kept my youngster clothed anyway, so... you know, that it didn't bother me that way.
Did she send clothes? Do you remember anything about Mr. Pritchard, who was the last one?
Oh, yes.
He lived not too far from you, did he?
He lived up on Blind Avenue.
What sort of a man was he?
Well, he was very radical. Of course, he was in the Winnipeg strike, you know.
What did people around this area think of his radical background?
Well, most of the people were radical at that time. An awful lot of them were.
Think that's why he got in?
It could be.
Do you think it was the conditions of the time that made people radical?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, we'd heard Capitol Hill referred to as Red Hill.
Oh, yes.
Was that a common name for it then?
Well, I never heard it called that. No. Never. Hmm. But I knew an awful lot of the people that were there that, you know, they'd have meetings in the park and that, and not that I ever went to them, but because I lived right there where, you know, we're at the park anyway.
So there were quite a lot of meetings going on most of the time.